Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, editor at that website. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick, Howard the Duck Apologist.
Mason. I guess that's my lot in life now.
Or enthusiast.
Howard the Duck connoisseur. Okay. Thank you. Hey, we both go to the movies.
Boy, do we.
And on occasion, we go to the movies solo.
More than I used to.
Yeah, I mean, when there's nothing wrong with that, I think.
No, because it used to bother me, but now I don't care.
But exactly. It's not weird because you go in, you buy your ticket, there's a second where you hand the one ticket over, and then whatever, and then it's dark and you watch the movie and it doesn't make any difference. Last night, some friends had a birthday and they saw two movies at the drive-in.
Right.
And I couldn't make it
separate
to the first.
Separate cars?
Well, you see, I couldn't make it to the first one, but I'm like, oh, I'll catch up with you and I'll see the second one. And so I had to drive into the drive-in by myself. Because I'm like, well, I'll get there and then I'll jump into your car and then we'll watch the movie together. But I went in there and there's like two just enormous lines of cars driving into the drive-in and they're filled with people having, you know, they brought food and they're partying and
There's a beach ball.
Beach ball thrown around, you know, in these line of cars. And I drive up and there's the box offices in the middle of the two roads. And so they just lean into the passenger side of the passenger side of the car and
okay.
But they lean into me and there's no passenger in the passenger side of the car. So it's just me. I'm just like, one ticket to Lucy, please. And I was going to be like,
you want to be like, I'm meeting somebody.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I couldn't be bothered. Like one. And then, I went in. So that's going to the, that's the new frontier for me.
And then you stayed in your car.
Yes. So that's the new frontier, is not going to the movies by yourself, but going to the drive-in by yourself.
That is the new frontier. Yeah, I don't think I could do that.
No.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got in there and saw Lucy, and it's not very good.
Oh, really?
Makes no sense.
Did she use 100% of her brains?
See, that's the whole thing. And I'm going to spoil it now, because who cares?
Yep.
But Morgan Freeman is this scientist, and sort of a lot of the first act is sort of, maybe the first and second act, is in all the action with Scarlett Johansson is interspersed with
Morgan
Freeman.
Is that good? The action?
It's a little bit weightless.
Okay.
It's not very visceral.
Because it's set in space, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's this action is sort of interspersed with Morgan Freeman as this professor giving what I must assume is a really, really long lecture about what is happening to Scarlett Johansson, like in the abstract.
Right.
But
does he know this is happening?
No, he doesn't.
He just happens to be
the scientist who's all about this.
Yeah.
But it's this long lecture about how human beings only use 10% of their brains, which is untrue.
Untrue, yeah.
Everybody knows that at this point. And at no point does anybody put their hand up and go, are you a crackpot?
Are you Morgan Freeman?
Are you Morgan Freeman? What are you doing here? Anyway, see it or don't see it. It doesn't matter. Some of the effects are fine. But
sure.
Yeah.
What's Luc Besson, is it?
It is Luc Besson. Yeah. Fifth Element, Leon, the Professional.
Yeah, French.
French stuff. Just being French,
being
generally.
French.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So that's our review of Lucy.
That's right.
See it or
spoilerific.
Don't see it.
Spoiler or don't see it.
Absolutely.
And that's my review of drive-ins. They're pretty good. Get some chicken nuggets. That's what I did.
I have not seen Beetle Driver for a very long time. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. So,
the last thing I saw at the drive-in was Two Hands.
Oh, really?
Australian crime film, Two
That's
Hands.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Late 90s, maybe.
Yeah. 99.
Yeah.
I think that was the first movie I bought on DVD.
Huh.
Second movie.
And now where are your DVDs, huh? Where are they?
It's a really good question.
Garbage dump. All those copies of E.T.
That's it. I just wanted to do a quick welcome to new listeners, because we don't often, because we get a lot of new listeners every week.
We do, yeah.
I mean, briefly, then they leave forever.
They sure do.
But
they're replaced. We just move them along and replace them with a new set of new listeners.
But
welcome new listeners. Welcome to the new listeners. Like, the old listeners started listening to this at the start of the podcast, and then they got sick of it, yeah. And they've just taken their earbuds out and handed it to the next person, like in the subway. Like, yeah. Just put them in their ears and say, ugh, you listen to this. So welcome to those newest listeners.
Welcome. Because I think, this week, Mason, I made that Easter egg video, and it went pretty well. It got picked
it's
up
not
by
even
like,
Easter time.
No, I know, it's weird, right? Mm. It got picked up by, like, Nerdist and IO9 and Collider and a bunch of other stuff, so that's really cool. And I'm happy with that.
Ask Jeeves.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is that still good?
Dogpile.com. Webcrawler.
Alta Vista.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah, yeah. All those.
Oh, that's nice. That's
so, yeah. Pretty cool.
So it was the Guardians of the Galaxy Easter egg video.
Yes, that's
Did you get all the Easter eggs?
No, definitely not.
Were people angry about that?
No, not especially.
Were they?
Because I said, look, this is clearly not all of them.
Right.
Feel free to add any that I've missed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, yeah. But look, Mason, I got at least four of them, so.
Oh, good,
What do they want from me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Blood.
And speaking of Mason, fans are calling for blood.
Uh-oh.
I'm getting better at transitions.
That's so good.
I shouldn't
stop.
Well,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Fans are calling for blood. There's a blood drive. Give blood, everyone.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot.
Uh-huh.
It's on 18% at Rotten Tomatoes.
Now,
I've read a lot of reviews which are not so much positive. There are a lot of positive ones that are like, look, it could have been way worse.
Right.
And we're going to talk about it this week, obviously, but it's not out here for another month.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll eventually get around to it. But
yep. Maybe when one cares.
Maybe we'll just do it like you just did Lucy. Just go sure, like, yeah, it's fine. And then there's a bit with the Shredder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Massive opening weekend, though, 65 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought it was going to tie again with Guardians of the Galaxy, which ended up getting 42 million or roughly.
Okay, sure.
These are all estimates. But there's a lot of bitterness. And I'm without seeing it, I'm wondering whether, is it a result of nostalgia? Like, because a lot of critics who are like, I don't know, our age and older, like loved this kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah.
And then to see it, Movie Bob is an example of one. He's on The Escapist, like hated it, tore it apart because he's a massive Ninja Turtles guy. But I was a massive Ninja Turtles guy, but if this is terrible, yeah. I don't care.
But did he tear it apart in the sense of, it's a bad movie, or it's just not the movie that I wanted?
Well, I think, look, he's a good critic, right? But a criticism that could be made against him is he does let nostalgia kind of blind him a lot of the time.
Sure, yeah.
And that can be said for us, no doubt. Because we loved the
Lucy we're completely
80s
objective.
TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I stepped on your joke. I apologize.
You son of a bitch. But, yeah, I just feel like, I mean, he's not the only one who's done it. And, you know, he had some very good reasons for hating it, being like, kids deserve better than this and blah, blah, blah. But from what I've heard, though, kids seem to like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know the design isn't great because they're giants. They look like they could take a punch from the Hulk.
That's one of the... I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Because when you think the very original Ninja Turtles were quite... Well, they were ridiculous looking, but they were quite thin and sort of gangly.
Yeah, yeah.
Big hands, little arms.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. But hey, we'll let you know in a month, everybody.
Sure, yeah.
We'll see it.
But, don't see it all. And just wait for us.
Wait for us.
To give the go-ahead or not.
Exactly. But on to Batman v Superman news, Mason.
Love
you know it's been filming big time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Derek Jenzer, who's an awesome guy. He's got an awesome band, Artificial Agent. Check him out, Mason.
I will.
Good. Oh. But
sounds like a threat now.
Yeah, he sent some pictures over. But a number of pictures also came up of like Bruce Wayne, Ben Affleck. He looks real stocky. He looks like that kind of, what's his name? The guy, the 80s Batman, the old one.
Adam West.
Yeah, Adam West. Who's in his 80s.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, you know that stocky kind of Dark Knight Returns Batman, Grey Temples.
Michael Keaton.
So they're really aging... Yeah, Michael Keaton. They're really aging him up.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's been rumors that this movie, he's been Batman for 30 years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is possible if I guess he started in his early 20s.
Yeah, okay. But 30 years.
It's a long time.
It's a very long time for it not to be mentioned in Man of Steel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's one of those things where it's underground and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, you know? I am very much in favour of the idea that Batman people believe Batman's just an urban myth.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that could last for 30 years, but I like the... That has kind of been done and undone in the comic books.
Yeah.
Like, in the sort of the mid-90s, they changed it so... Yeah, he was just an urban myth, and the criminals mostly believe that it's just a rumor that the cops have spread around to lower the crime rate.
Until they get all their teeth punched out.
That's right, yes, exactly. So he's very stocky.
Very stocky, yeah.
Is that a new sort of muscle system for Hollywood heroes? Like,
yeah, sure, I guess so.
They're stocky.
People are getting more muscular. Like, if you look back, yes. In general, I would say, just look at anyone's Facebook feed. Look at all that CrossFit, Mason.
You know it, yeah.
Yeah, because it used to be like you didn't really have to work out for anything, and now it's like it's a requirement. Even if you're just a regular kind of looking guy, you have to get enormous.
Yes.
And human growth hormone and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's kind of, you know, there are a lot of unrealistic expectations of people in Hollywood, you know, like men and women.
Yeah.
It's unique for men, I think, that if a guy takes his shirt off in a movie and he's not totally ripped, that's the punchline.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Like,
exactly.
if he's
Jason Segel.
Exactly,
or Seth Rogen.
Yeah, or either way, like, if you're a little bit doughy or you're a little bit thin, like, that's the joke.
Yeah.
So that's, you know.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah.
Good and point. I'm all in favor of it.
But yeah, Zack Snyder also called in a radio station because they were making fun of Aquaman, and he called in not to confirm that he was going to be in the movie, which he no doubt is, but to defend it. And this is basically what he says. He said he's able to cut the flesh off Superman if they came in contact. He's super strong. It's
probably all the plankton.
Yes.
All the barnacles. Aquaman's covered in barnacles.
It's not to say that he's in the movie or anything like that, but he has the potential to be a badass.
Yeah.
Which is true. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Because his tough skin comes from being under the ocean
depths,
and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And not exfoliating. Just let those barnacles grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let them go. So yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's good to see that somebody's got a hold of Aquaman who's not going to make him a joke. I mean, why would they? They wouldn't put him in simply for a joke. But then again, he is used as a joke quite a lot.
Yeah, but they couldn't. Nothing's used for a joke in the
in this
new DC universe.
No
jokes for us, thank you. We don't care for them.
No.
But at the same time, if you can't poke a little bit of fun at something you love,
at the dumbest thing in the world,
yeah,
which
exactly,
is a man who lives under the water,
correct,
and a man who dresses like a bat,
all those things,
yeah, all those things, yeah, you're right, exactly,
and just a man who just loves mom's apple pie and breaking people's necks, you know,
that's it,
which is the most American thing when you think about it.
It really is. Yeah, yeah, but you probably heard this, but the Batman v Superman date, which was paired with Captain America 3, has been shifted.
What? Who? Wait. Who? Okay, so who broke? DC broke.
DC broke.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, look, I don't see it as breaking. I see it as a smart move. They would be idiots to put it up.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they wouldn't crush Captain America. They'd do very, very well.
Yep.
But they've moved it forward 6 weeks to March. So we're getting it 6 weeks earlier.
Ooh.
Which is great.
And that shows confidence, I think.
It does, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But also, and the one of the guys at DC or Warner's or one of them, I don't know, it doesn't matter, Johnny DC.
Sure.
He said that, what am I doing? But basically that there is...
No, that's the best possible name of a guy.
Okay, good.
Who runs things over at DC.
Good. That there are no kind of... You can get a big movie any time of the year now.
Mm.
And why jam everything into summer? When you say, like, Guardians, for example, which is amazing and had a really good week, then gets beaten out by Ninja Turtles, which by all accounts is not as good in the second week. When you can release Batman v Superman in March, and that can be the number one film for, like, a month.
Yeah, exactly, at least, yeah.
So it's smart. Mm. I mean, I'd say that's why Captain America has crossed 1 billion worldwide, because it came out in a quieter time.
Right.
Not to say that that's not also because it's a really good movie, because it is. But, I don't know, I think blockbusters are shifting. And I think maybe Lord of the Rings even started that by coming out in like December, and you know, people realizing that you don't need to open in July to be cool.
Yeah, drugs are cool.
They sure
what's
are.
Cool.
That's
what's cool,
the point.
$1 billion and drugs.
So yeah.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings,
yeah.
Side note,
yeah.
So somebody showed me the other day that, you know, how in the Lord of the Rings movies, in the second one specifically.
Yeah.
No, the first one, Gandalf's trapped on the top of that tower.
I remember.
And then he gets the giant eagle. He summons the giant eagle and he flies.
Eagle's right out of there.
Yeah, he eagles the hell out of there. And then people have said about the sequels, why doesn't he just summon a flock of giant eagles to get everybody
in
the
eagles? Which he does in The Hobbit.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, what was your next
question? No, that's fine. Because people are like, well, why doesn't he just do that and get them all to Mount Doom?
Yeah, which they do at the end because the Eagles pick them up.
Right. Yeah. He's like, why is he such an idiot? But apparently, when he's fighting the Balrog...
Yeah.
So apparently, this is a fan theory, okay, that was his plan. He talks to the Eagles, like, off camera, and then when they're going through the mountain pass, he meets and they're going to meet them somewhere. And then they go through that mountain pass, and he meets the Balrog, and he falls off the thing, and he says, "Fly, you fools!" He is assuming that they're going to get it, and they're going to find the eagle somehow. And
those eagles, they fucked right off, though.
They really did.
They saw
that
he wasn't there, and they bailed.
Yeah,
that's a good theory.
It
I
is.
Like that.
Yeah, and it makes more.
It does make more sense.
They've earned the no prize for this week.
Well done, guy who told Mason that.
Thank you.
Who was it?
Can't remember.
Johnny DC.
It was Johnny DC, yes. Yeah.
But yeah, Batman v Superman, Captain America 3. It's win-win, right?
Yes.
We get Batman v Superman earlier, you know.
It is win-win.
Marvel people can say we won and whatever.
Exactly.
You know, so all those things.
Yeah. Which DC are cowards, which I always knew they were.
Also, they announced 9 DC film titles, not including Batman v Superman, up to 2020. It's like 2 a year.
Did they give actual names?
No, but they are coming this month.
Oh, okay.
Next month.
Great.
Or this sometime soon.
At some point prior to their release, we'll know what they are.
Yes.
Or when they're released.
Yes.
What if they didn't say?
That would be pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Would you go?
Yeah,
of course we
would. Yeah, we
would, yeah. Because we're nerds, Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to release all the titles at once, which is smart because they're probably going to end up changing a couple.
Yes.
Depending on how well certain things go. But we read out a list a few weeks ago. There was like a Flash Green Lantern one, which is a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people don't like Green Lantern movie.
No.
And like a Wonder Woman solo one and an Aquaman one. And I think the Sandman one must count in there somewhere as well.
Because
they're
still
doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's all very exciting, Mason. It's an exciting time to be alive.
Boy, is it.
For now. Until that comic book bubble bursts. Probably somewhere between now and 2020. So, you know, these things stop making money. And we're out of this job we don't get paid for.
Sure. Finally. 6 more years. 6 more years. 6 more years.
Terminator 5. You been following the news of that?
No, why would I?
Closely?
None of those. Not at all.
All right.
They're going to have to do a lot of work to get me back on board the Terminator movies.
Can you see it for this podcast?
Yeah, I'll have to, won't I?
There you go.
Yeah.
You're back on board.
I'm back on board, reluctantly.
Well, you know how it was titled Terminator Genesis?
Yep.
Now it's called...
Terminator Sega Genesis.
Yes.
Brackets, the video game system. And it's just a flashback to John Connor in the 90s. Edward Furlong's back. They've de-aged him
with
great. The creepy CGI. Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry.
Okay, what's it actually called?
Sure. It's still called Terminator Genesis, but Genesis is spelled... G-E-N-I-S-Y-S.
Ugh.
You say ugh.
Yeah, I do.
And that was my initial reaction.
I see sys like system. Okay.
I assume
right.
So.
Yeah.
I read this on a comment on comingsoon.net, which is a website which has many movies, newses.
Great.
Genesis, the way that they spelt it, it stands
for... The wrong way.
Yes. General Identification System, which is a computer system for biological identifications. Another comment said Genesis... is also a homonym of Genesis, which is the regular way of spelling it.
Sure,
yeah. It is confusing.
Which and Sega Genesis, yes. The video game system.
Which is a word that means origin or beginnings. So if you combine the two meanings together, you have origin of a computer system for biological identifications. They've outsmarted us.
I guess they have.
Or that's unintentional? I don't know.
I think they just...
I think it's just system.
I think nothing happened... in Terminator News, and they wanted to leak something, so they've just tweaked the name.
Sure.
I think that's probably it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Taylor, Thor the Dark World is behind it. That's all your right. favorite
I'm
Thor
sort of back
movie.
On board.
Is
yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it is good. Right. I like it. Sure.
But it's very, I think we've definitely talked about it, it's very light and fluffy.
Yeah.
Is this Terminator movie going to be light and fluffy?
Well,
what else has he done?
Game of Thrones, which is very light and fluffy.
So fluffy.
How far Game of Thrones far are you in?
Still 3 episodes into season 1. I haven't gotten to it yet. I will. And then we'll do a Game of Thrones special.
In 2020.
The episode people were clamoring for months ago.
Yeah. This isn't comic book news, but I've been watching a bit of the British Office lately. So I thought I'd bring this up.
You've been rewatching it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mostly just clips on YouTube, though.
Sure, yeah.
I love that show. And it still holds up. Because people are like, Ricky Gervais has lost it or whatever. And I think, maybe he has, I don't know. I don't watch the new stuff that he does so much. He's got that show where he's like, he's in an old person's home and he's helping.
Derek,
that's uh-huh. it. You seen it?
No.
Yeah, me neither. But anyway, he's heading back to the office. I know this isn't relevant to comic book news, everybody, so please just
It's pop cultural, it's fine.
Exactly.
It's under our umbrella.
The BBC today announced that Gervais will reprise his iconic role as David Brent for Life on the Road, a feature film spin-off, which will follow Brent's life 15 years after the end of the documentary series, The Office. Are you in favour of this? Is he flogging a dead, funny, little fat man dancing horse?
That's a good question. His movie track record, not great, in my opinion.
No.
The Invention of Lying.
Yeah, not a good movie.
Woeful.
Have we talked about this?
Yeah, probably.
We've talked about it. We won't get into it, maybe. Yeah. The world doesn't make sense, basically.
Not at all, no.
That's beside the point. Did you see Ghost Town?
Yes. He didn't write that, though.
No, he didn't. But he's okay. I find him endearing enough as a character. He did the one, there was a British kind of coming-of-age story, which he's briefly in, which is kind of based on his early life.
Okay, sure.
Which is okay. It didn't get a massive release, but right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm on board with this. Okay. All right, sure.
Good, great. Moving on?
Yes.
Thanks for...
I don't know, is it going to be... I guess it'll be a slice of life kind of thing, but I want that character to be okay.
Yeah,
like,
because he's really depressing to watch.
Yeah, yeah, I want him to be okay in his life, but I don't want him to fall into the trap of like, he somehow gets another hit single or something you know? I don't want it to be too
I think it's just
going to
be a super depressing kind of following him, and then there'll be like a light bit at the end where he kind of does okay. Because if you've seen, Extras, the way Extras ends, and season 3 of The Office, which is like 2 episodes, it's so grim.
Right,
like the whole way through. Yeah, and it's not fun. Like season 1 and 2 are definitely better because there's fun and there's light elements to it.
Right, yeah.
But it's just depressing until the end, and then sort of everything works out, sort of.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that everything should, you know, be fun and happy and everything works out the whole way, but it kind of ebbs and flows. But he just went in a ditch and he stayed in a ditch.
Right, yes.
And for me, there's nothing funny about a guy who's just, he's borderline disabled, who, like, mentally.
Right.
And he's not aware of it, where it gets to a point where it's like, maybe we should, you know.
Yeah, I think that was one of the main reasons why the American Office lasted so much longer than the British one. I mean, partly because...
And they're both great in different ways,
but
obviously.
Partly because, you know, the British TV series only go for a short length anyway, but the American one, because there was hope in it.
Yeah.
There was more hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And David Brent is not endearing. And don't get me wrong, he's a great, fantastic character, and I love those first 2 scenes in The Office, but yeah. It sounds like a grim affair.
Boy.
Yeah. Moving on?
Sure.
Kick-Ass 3, Mason.
Yep. The comic book.
And the finale of all time forever. It's finished now.
Ooh.
The last issue was $5.99 Australian. That's outrageous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I paid for it. Because there's one thing in particular I wanted to see. This is a mild spoiler if you haven't read it. I'm not going to spoil the actual ending of the comic, but if you've seen anything in Kick-Ass ever, you know that it's going to end in lots of bloodshed and a speech about heroism and how it relates to Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah, and it's going to be cool and post-ironic, but at the same time, somebody's going to do a speech about values and you've got to be who you are and step up and be a hero.
Exactly.
But don't even, we're too cool for it, but yeah. Step up and be a hero.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's a fake ending. There's a hint of that ending in it where you see in the hospital at one point, Dave Luzinski is there, and in the background you see what looks like him in a coma with his dad, who, spoiler alert again, if you haven't seen Kick-Ass 2, the movie, or read the comic, who has died, implying that after he gets injured that very first time where he goes at his Kick-Ass and he gets like beat to shit and stabbed and then he gets hit by a car, that he's just been in a coma the whole time.
Interesting.
And it's all a dream.
Oh, that's
Brazil.
Oh, we got Brazil
again.
That's
Repo Man? Was that
we got Repo Man.
Yeah.
And that's, again, for a series that's kind of, oh, we're cool and post-ironic, that's a very cliched way to go out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, it's only like, it's hinted at if it's even intentional at all.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I just thought that was interesting if they really want to go that way, but we'll probably never know, but we will know.
Yeah.
Because he'll hint, people usually kind of go one way or the other, because people keep badgering people about this stuff, like Harrison Ford about Blade Runner and whatever.
Kick-Ass is his most popular property,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But
I'm kind of waiting. I've got zero interest in that. I would much rather see a Superior sequel, a Nemesis sequel.
Yep.
Because I think Nemesis is a much bigger world.
Yep.
And we haven't really seen...
No. Well, they are developing that. They're doing the one Secret Service. It's called The Kingsman, though.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't think is his best work, but it's got some interesting ideas in it, and the trailer looks pretty good. But yeah, I really love Superior, though, mm-hmm. and I can't wait to see Superior at the drive-in.
Yeah.
Separate
one
cars.
Ticket. Separate cars.
All right. A lot of news this week, Mason.
Okay,
is that
let's
okay?
keep going. Yeah.
Cool with that?
Let's have a news special.
Sure. Let's do it. I mean, I did pad it out with David Brent news.
Boy, did you.
But they're talking about a female-centered Spider-Man.
We're going to do a David Brent spin-off podcast after this. This is what we call a backdoor pilot. What we're going to do this week, we're talking about David Brent news. Next week, it's going to be two pieces of David Brent news. Week after that, three, and then we spin it off.
Absolutely.
Brent cast.
We'll call it Foregone Podclusion,
oh.
which is a nod to something in that show, probably. Right.
Great. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to put weird bookends on the Ricky Gervais cast, like of us talking, and then profit.
He kicked it all off. Well, I don't think he started podcasts, but boy, did he do them. Those are great podcasts still, those.
He said, I think, that if he charged £1 for every download back in the day, he'd be rich.
Yeah.
I mean, he's rich.
I mean, he's incredibly rich.
He's incredibly rich. He'd be richer.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he also got in that time when people were still buying DVDs. People were loving those box sets at The Office. Big time. Mm. All right. Anyway, female-centered Spider-Man spin-off movie, Mason.
Uh-huh.
For a 2017 release, written by Lisa Joy Nolan of Burn Notice. What do you think? They haven't said who it is, but a spin-off character.
I think there's going to be a lot of internal monologues. Like, the thing about being a female superhero with spider powers is just blah, 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 blah. That's Burn Notice in a nutshell,
classic,
right?
Burn Notice. Yeah. I'm okay with Burn Notice. I don't watch it, but whenever I watch it, I go, this is nice.
Yeah, this is fun. It was a fun little show, yeah.
It's still going.
I don't think it is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm pretty sure I saw a DVD box set in that giant smoldering crater with all those copies of ET.
Every now and then to throw your things in.
And those Office DVDs you like, and it said Final Notice.
Okay.
Like on the box set, so I think it's over.
I'm not going to look, but I think you might be wrong.
Fine, whatever.
All right.
This podcast's over. what were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing if that was what split the podcast.
Wouldn't it, though? Whether Burn Notice is finished or not. We'd have to get Bruce Campbell to come in and settle our beef for
make
us.
Amends.
That'd be amazing.
They haven't said who, but I'm assuming it might be like a black cat, because that character was featured.
Also, not Spider-Woman.
I'd like to see Spider-Woman.
Mm.
That would be totally amazing.
It would.
But probably not going to see it. We'll probably get maybe even a Vulturess, because they've been kind of threatening that for a while.
A Vulturess.
Yeah, because she was supposed to be in Spider-Man 4, and I think Anne Hathaway was even cast. No, sorry, Anne Hathaway I think was Black Cat. Maybe Vulturess.
Anne Hathaway cannot be Catwoman and the Black
No,
Cat.
That happened before she was cast as Catwoman after. Uh-huh. But I'm assuming it's going to be like Black Cat.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Madam Web, blind old lady.
I
think that was actually... No, because I remember reading that, and somebody was like, what if it is a Madam Web movie? It's not going to be a Madam Web. She just hangs out in bed all day. She's 100 years old. She's like Aunt May, but she's got psychic powers.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't like it.
Don't like it? Because you hate old women.
And I think what they did is they just... I think... Because that's the sort of... That is the news article from, E! Online or whatever.
Yeah.
No, not E! They're pretty good, actually. But just some...
I can honestly say I've never been to E! Online.
No, that's a... But like...
Unless someone offered me a job, I accept.
Like CNN Entertainment News. And it's like... And they're like, oh, it could be... It's a female-centered Spider, and they've just looked up on Wikipedia female characters in Spider-Man, and they've just gone, well, maybe it'll be a Madam Web. No, it won't. Why would it be?
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. But also, there's still that Venom movie that's supposed to come out that same year that's rumored to be titled Venom Carnage.
It's a terrible name.
Sure. But I mean, if you're going to put Venom in a solo movie, you've got to have him go up against somebody, and the only kind of similar character worse than Venom is Carnage.
Carnage, yeah, exactly.
And they kind of... Carnage is... Origin spins off Venom, so
that
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-heroes, Mason. We love them.
We love them.
I don't like
them. We love to hate them.
Yeah. We sure
do. We're okay with them. We're ambivalent towards them.
Absolutely. But also, that doesn't change. Amazing Spider-Man 3 still set for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But also released this week.
Yes.
Was a whole lot of deleted scenes from The Amazing Spider-Man 2. You remember seeing that, I'm
vaguely,
sure.
Vaguely, sure. Yeah.
It felt like a lot was cut from that, right? Like a whole lot of subplots.
There was a lot of subplot. There was a lot of talking in a van. There's certainly a lot of talk. I feel that was the exposition van.
Yep.
They're like, well, we got to change some plot threads here. So let's get some minor plays in a van and explain what's going on here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Maybe Oscorp is watching or Peter Parker, but then he wasn't.
Okay, so does this found footage reveal what they were watching Peter Parker
for? I didn't watch all of them because I don't care. Great. A lot of people hate this movie, and I can understand why. If you're, especially if you're a diehard Spider-Man fan, mm-hmm. I completely get that.
Sure.
But I was okay with it. But I remember saying at the time, it does feel like they just filmed everything and then just chopped down.
Yes.
Kind of like, this is, you know, like they had no real direction on where it was going.
Right.
But one of the scenes, the one that I did watch, features...
Okay, Andrew Garfield, you and the other guy, go fishing. See how that goes.
Skip stones.
Just have a chat for a couple of hours. Just see how it goes.
Don't look at the van. But it features at the end, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, at the end...
Dane DeHaan, that's his name.
Yeah, Dane DeHaan. He gets the Green Goblin disease. Remember?
Yeah.
Great times. But
like the Dreamer's disease.
Yes, it is. At the end...
H14 got you down on your knees. That's a New Radicals song.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Only song? They had other ones, I'm sure.
They had one more.
They did. Yeah. So at the end, spoiler alert, as I said, his girlfriend dies. What's her name? Gwen Stacy dies. And then he's hanging out at her grave, and he's like, I'm sad. My emotions.
Andrew Garfield, hang out at this grave. Just hang out. We'll put whoever's name, we'll CGI whoever's name on it. In post. We'll do that. It'll be fine. Just hang out at it. Look sad, then look happy, because maybe it's a bad guy who's dead. Now look conflicted. Maybe it's a robot that's died, you're not sure how to feel.
Maybe it's a father figure. It's usually a father figure.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not his girlfriend, it's a father figure.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then speaking of father figures, his actual father appears.
Oh.
Not as a ghost, being like, I had to hide Peter because I had to protect you from Oscorp. Your blood is poison or magic.
Sure.
Whatever the plot is.
It's destiny. Your blood is destiny. It's poison destiny.
But that just goes to show that what's happening in
just,
that movie.
They just threw everything out and saw what stuck. Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Yeah. And look, to be fair, the scene plays well, as in the actors are good. Because Andrew Garfield is a very good actor, and the guy who plays his dad, and I'm sorry, you know, I don't know his name, is also very good. And it's an emotional moment or whatever, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And it kind of takes away from the whole, he's not supposed to have, like, somebody guiding him. Like,
no,
he loses father figures, and then he, like...
He just keeps losing them.
Just keeps losing them.
Just goes through
faster
like tissues.
Faster than you can get them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, in the 90s, his parents came back. You can't see the air quotes. You can.
I can.
Listeners can't. Air quotes.
I choose not to see
back.
Them, but I could.
And it turned out they were sort of robot duplicates created by the Chameleon. So maybe that's...
Okay.
I'd like to see the Chameleon in these movies, but Vulture-esque first, I
Please.
Guess. Please, thank you.
So was there a bit when then, like, they took on too much of his parents' personalities and helped him out? Because they were too good of parents, and even that went into the robots?
Yeah, they were conflicted. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I knew it. And then he wept over their grave and he was confused?
Yeah, he was very confused, yeah.
All right.
Okay, maybe there's a goblin glider in the grave. You don't know how to feel.
Run!
I don't know. It's filled with pumpkin bombs, run away!
But I got an email from Toby. Well, we got an email from Toby this week, which we are going to come back to later. But he sent something that kind of ties into this. It's more to do with movie trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read this and then...
I'm listening.
See what you make of this.
Sure.
I spent 2 years working in a movie trailer studio in LA making trailers and commercials.
I'm loving this already because I want to know what these people are like that just make the trailers.
The biggest project we had was for The Amazing Spider-Man. We did all the TV spots that aired in the US. Though the editors are the ones who put the trailers together, the amount of studio influence is mind-boggling. I've seen really good movies get really shitty trailers because studio dickheads thought they knew better than us. That's why, and this makes sense. This part, because I remember being like, why do they keep showing this? That's why almost every ad for The Amazing Spider-Man has the small knives joke in it. That scene tested well, so the studio wanted it featured in every single ad.
What small knives scene?
The bit where the he's attacking that mugger.
Oh, yeah.
And then the mugger pulls out the knife and he's like, oh, no, my weakness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember
small
that.
Knives
yeah.
or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like funny the first time you see it.
Uh-huh.
By the time I saw that movie, I'd seen that at least 15 times.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I had that poster. Because, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, isn't that interesting? I'm not surprised by any of that.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to wonder who they're testing the stuff
yeah.
for.
Yeah. I mean...
People who love knives jokes.
Yes. I mean, I'll only watch,
people
like...
People who love Crocodile Dundee films.
Us.
Yeah.
Us Australian blokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't watch a trailer if they're like... it's in the description. It's like, oh, it's just like the other trailer, except there's some snippets of new footage. I'm like, nah, won't watch it. Don't care. Mm. So I don't understand why do they do this?
Test well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's, he did answer that in his email.
Boy, so, did he. Yeah. But anyway, we've got insider information there. We can choose to ignore it.
Yes.
Let's ignore it.
But we'll come back to that. We'll come back to Toby because he's got some other stuff to say later. All right. James Gunn, last bit of news. Mm-hmm. He spent last weekend, he said, working hard on Guardians of the Galaxy 2. He was so pumped.
That was quick.
Yeah. So he's just been, you know, writing away, I assume, or doing whatever he does. So that's really exciting. He favorited a tweet that I sent to him.
Hello.
Yeah.
How many tweets has he favorited a day?
A billion.
Oh. Well, it's great to be part of that elite group.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was more kind of like, oh, that's weird, he's real.
And he did that. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It's not...
Whenever a celebrity type acknowledges, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get some celebrities on the show one day, Mason.
We don't know, nor will we ever know any celebrities.
Good point. Mm-hmm. I feel like as well, if we did, say hypothetically, which yes. we never will, uh-huh. that would bias us, wouldn't it? Because you'd be like, if I met, say... I don't know, Andrew Garfield, and then the next Spider-Man comes out and I hate it, I'd be like, yeah, but he's a really nice guy, you know what I mean? I
feel
I feel more comfortable making fun of Andrew Garfield not knowing him.
Yeah, I mean, we have enough like bias on the very rare occasion that we get a free ticket to something.
Yes.
Like, well, it's, you know, let's give it a chance, guys, come on, it's in your fun, you know? And that's like $20 worth of favoritism.
That's
there.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, look, Mason, we got an email from Jason. We asked last week, we said, hey, has anyone got any... Got any ideas for topics?
Uh-huh.
And Jason wrote and he said he'd like some explanation for the Infinity Stones, or gems as they're called in the comics.
Yeah,
we'll only do this quickly. Let's not let's not dwell, Mason, unless right. you want to dwell.
Let's not dwell.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just a heads up for people as well. This is going to be a shorter episode because it's very late on a Sunday night, and both of us have karate tournaments early in the morning.
Yes,
and we got to get
exactly.
real limber, get up and stretch, and
because what's going to happen is. I'm in a karate tournament on one side of town. You're in the karate tournament on the other side of town.
Mm.
Also, and we're going to have to meet in the middle. Like, we're going to win our karate tournaments respectively. Then we're going to have to fight each other.
That's right.
And the thing is that one's a real fancy karate tournament and one's a real, like, a real low-class karate tournament. So we're going to have to keep switching outfits and going back and forth. And it's going to get real complicated real quick.
Exactly.
And eventually, I'm going to show up at the low-class one in a tuxedo and you're going to show up at the classy one. You know, wearing like bib overalls in a sack. Exactly. And it's going to be real embarrassing for everyone. So we're going to
look,
just chuck this out and get out there.
We know that's probably the explanation you had in your heads already,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
we just feel like
just
that's something
clarify.
You should know.
Yeah, you've got to clarify everything on the internet, otherwise you get letters.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for the suggestion, Jason, and all those people who sent in suggestions. I note as many of them as I can, so I backlog them.
Yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will. Because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
So we're going to talk about the Infinity Gems.
Yeah.
The thing about the Infinity Gems in the Marvel Universe is it's like everything in the Marvel Universe in that it's a soap opera.
Yes.
It's so complicated.
Yeah.
And everybody's dead and they've come back to life. And if you just go to the, there's an Infinity Gems Wikipedia page, as you might imagine, and it's got all the, you know, the all the gems. There's six in the real gems. Yeah. They're all grab dem gems.
Grab dat gem.
Grab that specifically, which is catching on, I think, as a hashtag.
Absolutely.
Hashtag grab dat gem. As we established last week, in our review of Guardians of the Galaxy, in our discussion, if someone were to present you with an Infinity Gem, you should just grab that gem.
Regardless.
I mean, potentially you could explode.
You will explode.
But you might explode. And then evolve into a higher form of life.
Yes.
So I'm saying grab that gem, you're saying not.
I'm saying don't. But look.
If you're in space, you're destined for greatness, so just grab that gem.
And also, I want to see what happens if you grab that gem.
That's actually a good point as well. Yeah, I might explode, but if not, okay. Anyway, it's super complicated, but there's six gems, but there's also a seventh gem, which enables you to go to the Malibu Ultraverse, which was a very short-lived superhero comic book universe in the 90s that Marvel purchased, which I enjoyed a lot, but it's gone now forever.
The Malibu universe?
The Ultraverse.
Did you say Malibu?
It was Malibu Comics.
Okay.
So that's very California. And they had the Ultraverse, which was like their superhero universe.
Is it? It's not the Mattel kind of Barbie universe, is it?
No.
Okay. Because when I think Malibu, I think Malibu Stacy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's way too many gems. And let's talk about the Ultraverse one day. Not today, though.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about them all. Prime. Prototype. Firearm.
What?
Am I making these up or are they real? Who's to say?
Not me.
Yeah.
Not this guy.
Yeah, anyway, it's super complicated and everybody, like, every gem has been possessed by like 20 people.
Yeah. I mean, some are more affiliated with others, some than others, like Adam Warlock. He loves the soul gem.
Yeah.
Loves it.
Mm. Can't get enough.
No, he can't.
But we'll just talk about the gems they exist in the movie.
Yeah, because, look, I'm... I was looking through it. I was trying to research, and I'm like, "This is too much."
Well, I'm not going to do any research. Yeah. I'm just going to wing it, as I always do. I get the sense also in the Marvel because the comic book universe, each gem has a specific purpose, and a specific set of powers. But I think in the movie universe,
and a very distinct color.
I get the sense in the movie universe, each gem is just super powerful.
Yes,
they're different shaped. But essentially, they all do the same thing.
You can use them for whatever.
For whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
They got lots of powers and such.
Exactly. Like the Tesseract which is, I guess, the first one we can talk about, is the space gem.
Arguably, sure.
But they also, it can be used to charge weapons.
It's a space gem because it can open portals to other realities, so to space. But it's also a power gem in that you can,
Yeah, you can charge Nazi weapons and shoot people with it and make a giant tank. Do you remember that giant tank?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
It was good,
I feel like, I think that one was always intended to be the space gem.
Because
they would have had plans for the Avengers at that point already.
Yes.
And the fact that at the end, Red Skull grabs that gem.
As you should if you encounter one.
and he shoots off into space.
Yeah.
Not gone forever, but...
I'm in space! Buy this gem! Oh, catchy. That's what he says. Deleted scene.
So I mean, it shows up in I think it's in, it's like it's seen in like a manuscript in Thor, and then a few months later it turns up in Captain America big time, because it was in Odin's vault, and then it came to Earth for whatever reason, and then it was stored in some weird drawer in Europe by the by the guy from Harry Potter, the janitor.
Skarsgård?
No, what's his name? He's in Game of Thrones.
Stellan Skarsgård?
No, that's a different guy.
Okay. I cannot Fleech help you with games. Something. I cannot help you with Games of Thrones.
That's okay. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. He's a rat-faced looking man with long hair.
Great. But anyway, and so in Thor we see the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
But
we should probably explain that, I guess.
Well, in the comic book Marvel universe, Thanos gathers all the Infinity Gems and just puts them on his glove.
Yeah.
And that becomes the Infinity Gauntlet. Yes. So unless in Avengers 3, he breaks into Asgard and he finds that and he's like, oh, it's my glove. Yeah. I've been missing that for years.
Yeah, does that mean that he's already had the gems before?
Good question.
He's already grabbed that gem?
Let's speculate.
Yeah, yeah. So that gauntlet existed after he grabbed the gems.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Look, this is a bloody nightmare.
Also,
we're trying to simplify this.
Yeah, you're right.
I shouldn't have mentioned it at all.
But look, yeah, it comes back, the Tesseract. But also, do you think that each of these, we saw in Guardians of the Galaxy, we saw the orb, which actually was a gem. It's the first time you actually see one, and it's a little jewel.
Yeah.
So if you crack...
It's so handy to grab.
So easy.
You're going to grab that
just
gem.
Just reach out.
Just reach out and grab it, yeah.
So if you crack, say, the Tesseract, is there a gem inside it?
Oh, I'm going to say no. You're silly. Don't be silly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, but Loki, of course, has the Tesseract now. He got it back because he's impersonating Odin and they took the Tesseract back to Asgard after the Avengers.
Mm.
So he's got that gem and he's working for Thanos.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one that Thanos potentially has.
Sure.
Or is he working for Thanos? It's never really made entirely clear. At this point, I just hit my microphone. It's never made, because he was supposed to, you know, do a bunch of stuff on Earth, like flatten New York and take over, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So is he out of favor with Thanos now?
No, I think we've talked about this before. My theory, which again,
it's a setup. Elaborate.
Yeah, it's an elaborate setup.
Mm.
He was supposed to cause a ruckus on Earth
and
then lose, so he would be captured by Thor and then sent to Asgard. So Thanos would then have a man on the inside to grab that gem. Oh, it does all tie together. And that's why in the Avengers when Loki kills Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
Coulson says, you're going to lose because you lack conviction.
Mm.
He can tell that Loki is trying to lose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I say that now, but, you know, rewriting happens constantly.
It sure does.
None of this is probably going to come to fruition.
Did you know Joss Whedon actually threw out the first script for the Avengers? He just completely rewrote it.
Did he throw it in that pit with all the copies of E.T.
Absolutely.
And all those DVDs. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He threw it out completely.
Yeah.
He wrote the entire thing and then threw it out?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. No. He came on board and then said,
and then he threw
this is before he had the job, and he was like, this isn't very good. Huh. And then they're like, do you want to write it? And he's like, nah. But he did.
Wow.
Elaborate.
Do we know who was responsible for the original?
No. I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere. I could look that up.
Nah. We don't want to shame them.
No. That's right. So, yeah. The Tesseract is on bloody Asgard, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ether, which
from Thor the Dark World,
which is red like the Power Stone from the comics.
Uh-huh.
But it's the ether's not the Power Stone, which I thought it was the Power Stone because it can eradicate worlds.
Yep.
But it's not. It's the reality.
It's the reality stone. Yeah.
Well, it's rumored to be anyway.
Yeah,
it's not confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to convert all the darkness. They're going to thaw the dark world, all the worlds.
Sure, yeah.
Do you remember?
They're going to thaw it out.
Yes.
Yeah. They're going to thaw out all that darkness.
So, yeah. And that one's not a stone at all until the end when you see it in that little kind of lunchbox.
Sure, yeah.
But it's like a swirly liquid.
Mm.
Like a big thing of blood.
Absolutely.
Magic blood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That goes into people and makes them stronger.
Yep.
But not so strong that your arms can't get flung into different dimensions.
Correct.
If you recall.
Yes.
So, yeah, that one's in the hands of the collector.
The collector's got it, yeah.
So, yeah.
We can't really. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, so
spoiler, he may not have it anymore.
He may not have it, but we also don't know whether the collector is working for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's not implied that he's working for Thanos. He says at the post-credits of Thor the Dark World, one down, five to go. Which could just mean he's collecting them.
Because he loves to collect.
He
loves to collect. The runner loves to run. All the other guys like to do what they like to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They all do the things that their name says.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, he's probably still got it, but who knows?
Exactly.
We don't see it in Guardians of the Galaxy at all, so...
No.
No. We'll never know.
We're probably in Avengers 3. We'll probably...
Well, no, we will.
We'll know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The... What's it called? The Mind Gem.
Mm-hmm.
It's rumored to be Loki's staff. The gem in Loki's staff.
Yeah, the Chitauri staff.
Yeah, but that's not... That's not confirmed.
And I don't like that because...
It's blue and the other one's blue.
Exactly. So I don't like the two blue gems crossing over. I don't like that. That would cause confusion.
Yeah.
But also, surely his staff is just channeling the power of the Tesseract.
Well, that's what some people have thought also. But it can do things that... Well, I guess the Tesseract can do anything.
Apparently. There we go, see?
But it can...
God, this is confusing.
But it can, you know, manipulate people's minds and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. It could be mind gem. I think it is the mind gem.
All right.
I think it's a quicker way to just put another stone in the movies without making a whole movie around it.
So Thanos would be like, oh, if only I had the final gem to complete the Infinity Gauntlet. Loki's like, oh, is it this one? He's like, oh, yeah, great. Thanks. Thanks, buddy.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess he gave it to Loki. If it is the mind gem, he gave it to Loki to help him do whatever he was supposed to do.
Mm.
Lacking conviction.
That's the one.
So, you know.
Really balls up everything.
Really balls it up. But that staff now is in possession of Hydra.
Yeah, Hydra okay. had
it. So at the end of Captain America 2, in the post-credit spoiler, whatever, they're using it to experiment on people, and the only two who seemingly survived are Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Mm.
So I guess they're using it to unlock the potential of the human mind, because I don't know if you know this, Mason, the human brain can only use 10% of its brain.
But what if you were to use more than that?
Who's to say?
Yeah.
It's an infinite possibilities of nonsense and hair-changing colour.
Oh,
and light
change.
Action sequences.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, in that film... What happens is at one point she changes her colour,
yeah.
hair colour, right? She changes it from curly and blonde to like straight and black. And then she goes like to a place and she falls unconscious. And then she wakes up in a hospital and her hair's curly and blonde again. And none of the supporting characters are like, you know, when she went in, she had straight black hair and then it's just curly. What happened there? Like nobody mentions it at all. So there's a lot of plot holes, mostly hair based in that film. I'm just saying.
So get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Power gem. We know that's the one in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that is yeah. confirmed, yeah. definite. People have been...
The most grabbinest of the gems.
Yes.
Mm.
I mean, we know where that is, obviously. Spoiler alert, Guardians, whatever. It's
in the Nova Corps headquarters. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which would mean... I did a video on this, by the way, today. Which means that that's the safest one, I guess.
Mm.
But, you know, you can just crash a big ship into anything and then get it.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But what I found interesting, and I'm not sure whether they actually mentioned this in Guardians of the Galaxy, but the world that was on, Morag, was it? I can't remember
yep.
at the start. You can only get to it every 300 years because the ocean would drop. And that was how Peter Quill was able to get it.
Interesting.
So I thought that was a little
That's
cool.
why he's the first one to get there for
yeah,
some reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's not the smartest, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, so.
Yeah, yeah. He's very much like a self-styled kind of like explorer, but he's not who he thinks he is.
Right, exactly.
You
so
know what I mean? Yeah.
It's just, he just happened to be in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right.
What a legend.
Yeah.
He Indiana bloody grabbed that gem.
Yeah.
He's got the right spirit for this show.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I guess that leaves only the two we haven't seen is the Time Gem and the Soul Gem or Stone.
Yeah, yeah, right. And the Soul Gem, as we've mentioned, is Adam Warlock's favorite.
Yeah.
The rumor is, I think.
Does he wear that in his head?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
The rumor is, I think.
That's got to be like cancerous, surely.
Boy, yeah. Because Lex Luthor used to wear a kryptonite ring and
then he
lost his hand.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Oh, not like jammed in a door?
Oh, no, he was jammed in a door.
Okay,
you're right.
Good.
Yeah. It was jammed behind in a vending machine. He's a billionaire, but he's like, oh my god, I can get two Snickers bars out of this thing. If I just shake this just right, I get that. Oh, my hand! Curses! I blame you for this, Superman! That's how it started.
That's how it all started.
Yeah. So anyway,
origins.
Yeah, so the rumor is, again, we've seen...
It's better than Smallville, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. We've seen that cocoon, we saw it in Thor the Dark World, we see it in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's
yeah.
in the Collector's headquarters.
Yeah.
It's a cocoon, everybody assumes Adam Warlock's in it, just chilling
yeah.
till the time's right. And I think the assumption is... that somebody will use the soul gem and awaken him.
Well,
and he'd be like, I'll have a piece of that.
Gimme it.
Yeah.
Bloody gimme it. But some people have added this to the comments of the Easter egg video.
Yes.
That at the end, you see that the Adam Warlock's cocoon is burst.
Right.
So again, spoiler alert, the very end, Howard the Duck appears. And that's like a misdirect.
Yep.
Because I haven't seen this again to confirm it, but behind him, there's a cocoon that's open. And there's also rumors that he's going to be Peter Quill's father. I think, did we talk about that last week, maybe?
Like that yes, we did. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because he's more interesting than just be like, oh, your dad's just like, he's like a space
I'm an alien prince. I'm real rich and stuff.
Yeah.
Look at my fleet of space yachts. Look at these space grapes I'm eating. Because that's decadent for some reason, eating lots of grapes.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like grapes.
Yeah.
I don't consider it decadent, though.
No. Mm. This is not the podcast for grapes.
I disagree. I don't like grapes with seeds. Get them out of here.
Okay, fine.
All right?
All right, God.
Okay. Because where do you put the seeds? I feel like I've got to be eating them outdoors so I can spit them into a garden.
Look, I'm not arguing for... Look, we're not picking a side here. Look, we pick sides in one thing and one thing only. Karate tournaments. But... I'm not going against you with these seeded grapes. I'm also against seeded grapes.
Okay, good.
But you need them, because otherwise how do you get more grapes?
You're right.
I don't know how you make grapes. Listen, back to the thing with the gems. What were we talking about?
I don't know how they make grapes. But the other one was time.
It's a time gem. Okay, right.
Which is probably the best one, I guess. No, not really. They're all pretty good because they can do anything. So whatever.
And you know what? If I lived in a Marvel or DC universe, anytime time travel came up, I'd just be like, ugh. Oh, no. Oh, no, thank you. Because any time it happens, all of reality is ruined.
Yeah.
And then you've got to put it back together.
And again. They always say, that's the last time we can do that because we've done too much time stuff.
Yeah.
But then they just do it again.
Just do it again, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Ant-Man's come back from the dead through time. That whole Avengers Age of Ultron comic, not the movie, it's only the movie in name, is based around altering time.
There's so much time travel in that.
Like multiple times.
Yeah. Somebody goes back and alters time, and then they go back into the new reality, and they're like, not good enough, and they go back and they go back and alter time again.
It's the Back to the Future 2 scenario.
Yeah.
Which is a great movie. And they explain that really well with that chalkboard, and they draw the timelines. That's how you do time travel, man.
Mm.
That's how you explain it in a movie. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fine.
So, yeah. This one, though, apparently you can also de-age people and be used as a weapon to, like, trap enemies or entire universes in unending loops. Like the movie Looper.
Ugh. So you don't do time travel.
So yeah, that would be interesting. But you bring time travel into something, and it's hard to do right.
Boy, is it ever?
Yeah.
And if we kept talking about it, we'd just be two guys in a room doing a podcast talking about time travel. Am I right?
Absolutely. Mm. So that's pretty much all the gems in a nutshell. Yeah. From the movies. Read all the comics if you want to know anything about them. Just all of them. Just everything, and then you'll be up to date.
Here's all the Infinity Gems in a nutshell. Hey, I'm the Soul Gem. I'm in a nutshell.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Look, I've got... Because, like I said, Mason, I put that video up only like an hour or so ago.
Yes.
But I also wrote down a bunch of responses because I asked people, which gem would you want and why?
Yep. Right?
So I've got about, six or seven responses here. Do you have a particular gem that you would want?
Not time.
Okay, sure.
You know what? I'm not responsible for it. I'm not responsible enough to handle any of these infinitely powerful gems.
Reality would be pretty good, I guess.
Sure.
Because you could just reset it back to what you wanted anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know how it works. I don't even think Malekith knows how it works. Because you're just like, I'm just going to blacken everything.
Yeah.
Do something good. Like fun or something.
Yeah.
What does he want to live in a weird dark pit for? The guy was such a dickhead.
Right? I want soul.
Okay.
Yeah. Release some albums.
I was going to say, saxophone?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Look, we've all got dreams to be a greasy sax man.
We do.
A la The Lost Boys. So that's what I'll use my soul gem for.
You told me about the greasy sax man, John Hamm
did it,
video, which is pretty great. Everyone should look that up. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. First, find out who the greasy sax man is, if you don't know, and then watch that John Hamm greasy sax man video. Okay, so Epic Ninja Pancake, it's a good name, 14, says, time, because I can right my wrongs, or power, to use it for good, or to get all the pussy.
Well, that is good, right?
It is. The Trent Kent says, soul.
Also, I was going to say, don't go back in time and write your mistakes.
No.
That's weird, right?
Let it go. Let it ride,
just
man.
Just let it breathe, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Unless your mistake was not getting enough pussy, in which case, maybe go back in time. I don't know. Just live your life. You got that gem, so whatever.
Yeah. The Trent Kent says, soul, so he can be Adam Warlock. Makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Antonio Aguilar says, I would like the Power Stone, but you know what they say, with great power comes great responsibility. He's taken it to a serious place, and I respect that.
Yeah.
Because very rarely somebody gives a genuine answer. So I like, thank you very much, Antonio.
Normally it's like, I'll take the mind gem so you guys can shut up. Like, that doesn't even make sense. And like, shut up. I'm like, we've been told.
IMZX says, Mind Gem, hot women. There you go. Makes sense.
Uh-huh.
It's a theme here.
Don't use your Mind Gem to get hot women. That's bad form.
Is it?
Yes.
You're right. Is it worse than the game? I would argue it's not.
I guess, but what... Yeah.
I don't like the game.
No, that's...
I don't like what
right.
it's about. But what I love about the game is watching somebody try to use the game, seeing as everybody knows what the game is now.
Yes.
Girls more than guys. So
definitely,
it's,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
funny to watch.
Yeah. There's a lot of... Somebody leans in and... Like a subtle little bit of whispering, and then the woman's really loud. He's like, "Are you negging me?" And they just scuttle off back to their corner. That's pretty fun.
A guy I know, yes. I saw him do it once, and he said to a girl, "Your ears are really big."
That's not a neg,
just,
surely.
That's an insult.
That's just an insult. Yeah, that's a flat-out insult. Unless he was like, "Your ears are really big. They'd look better on my bedroom floor," right?
Because I'm going to tear them off?
Yeah, because I'm going to tear them off.
Better Breaking says, "I think I'll wield the time gem. Seeing as I already have teleportation and phasing abilities, it would only make sense for a person of my experience to have the ability to phase or teleport through time."
Sounds like too much power.
It does.
Yeah,
this guy doesn't deserve the time gem. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Plus, I would use it to watch future Marvel films. I would love that. Just go and watch all the stuff.
But who would you talk to him about? Who would you talk to about those films?
I just do it on the podcast. I just spoil it like years in advance.
You're a monster.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have any of these gems. I've decided.
Well, I wasn't going to grab one anyway.
All right, yeah.
Shafi Choudhury? C-H-O-U-D. How do you pronounce that? Choudhury.
Yep.
Yeah. The power gem, so I can kill Nick Mason. Lol jokes. Don't worry about it.
I was worried for a second there.
But you could kill him with
anything. Why just me? Why not you as well?
You know what? Last week...
We should do some sort of tally of how many threats of murder we get.
Look.
Like each week.
You know what,
Let's
though?
See who's winning.
You get a lot of compliments, and I feel bad because I don't bring them up. I'm not like, "This guy says you're really funny and likes you." But I should. I think next week I'm going to compile a list.
Nah, it keeps
of
me on
compliments.
My toes.
Okay.
And murders. We'll see who wins.
Okay,
murder
sure.
threats and compliments.
Good.
Yeah.
This last one, Chew Cock, spelled C-H-E-W space K-O-K.
Hey, live your life.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Time, so I can travel back in time to get a sandwich.
All right, that is a responsible use of the time, Jim.
It is.
Totally fine, yeah.
But...
And also, what you want to... Because if you go to Subway, you don't want to get there like 4 p.m., you know, when the bread's all... It's all stale or whatever.
I don't think it is bread at any point of the day.
It's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
But when it's warm. So I go back
sure.
in time for that, yeah.
When it's damp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fair point. All right, so I guess that's all we really got to say about those gems.
Mm.
Look, as they develop, I guess, as we find out more about them, we'll bring them into the news and we'll keep track of them, Mason.
Yep.
There's also people...
More and more confusing with every succeeding week.
You know it is. People have been saying that maybe Avengers 3...
Yes.
If it's not, it could be a Guardians crossover as well. But maybe they'll do like Civil War and then they'll save Avengers Guardians crossover for later and then they'll battle Thanos together. Because that makes sense. Because you want to get the Avengers in on the Thanos battle.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
You? I mean, the Guardians.
I'm sure you could calculate it by how many films every actor has left on their contract.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Good point.
We won't do it now.
No.
Somebody can do it.
Somebody
we'll wait
better
for that
than
article.
Us.
We'll yeah, wait yeah. for that AV Club article.
Yes, that's right.
And just read it.
Well, you know what it's time for, Mason.
What's it time for?
What we reading? What we gonna read?
Okay, I'm ready.
Were we saying it together? I don't remember.
Didn't we just do that?
Like,
I felt that was in unison. That
you
was
didn't
totally
say anything.
No, I did. It was so in unison that you didn't even notice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today? I'll tell you what I'm going to be reading this week.
Yeah.
Joel Price on the internet from the Twitters, at Heisenberg_S.
Yeah.
He has created...
Who is this guy? Who's he about?
He's a friend of the show.
Excellent. Yeah. Go on.
And Tech Wizard... And I say that because he's done something that we can't do, because we're technologically incapable of doing. He's created
Correct.
A Weekly Planet subreddit.
Oh, yeah,
on Reddit,
right, yeah, yeah.
.com, which you can find at reddit.com/r/weeklyplanetpodcast.
Now, to be clear, we don't know how Reddit works, is that
no,
right?
No, that's right. We're afraid of it.
Yes.
Because it was created after, like...
We were born.
After we were born, exactly, yeah. Don't trust nothing. I don't trust nothing after the gramophone, essentially.
So yeah, so what, can people keep track of the show there, I guess?
I'll be honest, there's nothing on it right now.
Yeah,
so,
well, why would there be?
So essentially, the world is our oyster.
In a way, it is.
Yeah, so I would say, hollow if you oyster. Want, yeah, I mean, just get on there, create the content. Again, don't know how Reddit works. We should get on there. We'll say hi.
Absolutely,
and so on and so
will.
Forth. And maybe just put some death threats up there.
Yes.
Because I want that count to go as high as possible.
Please. Mm-hmm. All right. It gives you incentive to be better at karate.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Well,
as if I could be better at karate.
I guess.
The best of karate.
If you're a fan, we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess if you're a fan of Kick-Ass, yes. You probably want to check out the finale. It's standard Kick-Ass stuff. Mm-hmm. I read it. I've been loosely following it. I think it kind of peaked in the first series, to be honest.
Yep.
It was okay. But it's all kind of the same.
And yet
same.
You're just chipping away at it.
Chipping away. Well, it's done. I'm not going to not read it, you mm-hmm. know? So it's done forever. Mm-hmm. So, look, if you...
Until Kick-Ass 4.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
But they say that this is it. This is, you know, that this is it. So, you know, if you've been following the universe and you like seeing the similar thing happen again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't mean... That sounds like an insult. And it is.
Yeah.
But, like, it's very much in keeping with the rest of the Kick-Ass movies and TV shows.
Mm.
And comics, because there is no yep. TV show.
Yeah.
So
and those read-along records where you've got a book and a record.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm going to recommend something else, though, Mason. First of all, I'm going to read The Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy. By read, I mean audiobook, because I downloaded it.
Oh, okay.
I want to listen to it.
Uh-huh. You're a Cormac McCarthy guy.
I am, yeah.
Your family loves those, The Roads.
They do.
You love reading them, then discussing them as a family, weirdly.
Because
you're all weird survivalists.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have that shopping cart. We eat that human arm. All that stuff. All those things.
You're always pushing each other across the road in a shopping cart and then switching. Now I want to be in the shopping cart. And you switch.
So, yeah. My older brother in particular, he loves it. Hello, if you're listening. But I'm going to recommend something that which I accidentally discovered on Comixology. It's called Mayflower, and it's by Levi Hoffmeyer.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, I read through it. It's one issue at the moment. It's 99 cents. Well worth it. He self-published and wrote and did the art for this particular comic. And it was on like new submissions on Comixology. Uh-huh. And the cover appealed to me, so I'm like, I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah.
So basically,
it had a gorilla on it.
It had a gorilla. Yep. That's right. It basically, without you know. Spoiling it, there's a man who happens to be flying by a particular terrorist attack in the future,
uh-huh.
and then he's kind of mistakenly blamed for that.
Yep.
And then this kind of series of unfortunate events transpires, and he crashes in this kind of nature preserve. And that's pretty... And then some other things happen, whatever, I'm not going to spoil it, but that's where issue one is at. And I think he said it's going to be something like 36 issues.
Interesting.
And I just find it really impressive that this guy has... And I read the blurb at the back...
Mm-hmm.
Or his little speech about it. And he was saying, look, you know, he got to the point where he was, you know, he wasn't sure where he was going to take it and blah, blah, blah. And then he decided that, look, if I'm going to do this, I can do this myself. So he did. And it's really, really good. And really, I mean, it's one issue, but it's really, really promising.
Is that been released by Image or something?
No, he's doing it independently. There's a cover there. So.
Wow, that looks good.
I know, right? So
he's good. Okay.
Yeah, he's got some skills.
Yeah.
By the way, he has not reached out to me. I do not know this guy at all.
Uh-huh.
This isn't like a weird plug or anything. I just thought, I'd like a guy who does something like that, just
on his own bat.
So yeah.
99 cents.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're reading for this week.
Also,
I said that's what we're reading.
If we're talking about sort of Cormac McCarthy post-apocalyptic kind of things, I'm also going to check out Snowpiercer.
Oh, that's right.
Apparently that's good. You've seen that, right?
It's fucking amazing.
There you go.
Not for everybody.
No?
But,
in what sense?
It's weird. It's real weird.
In what sense?
Off-putting, like the world doesn't actually... It doesn't make sense as a proper real world.
Oh, it's surreal.
It's surreal, but... It's good. I really, really enjoyed it. It's the guy who did The Host. Remember The Host?
I love The Host.
Yeah. The Host is great. So, highly recommend it.
I might be the last person in the world to get on board with this. Mm. Like, maybe everybody's seen it, but I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Well, it's like limited release. And
I see.
Bloody blah. But, yeah, and Chris Evans is great in that. And that was filmed like a couple years ago, and it's just been kind of sitting on the shelf, and they were going to edit it right down,
mm-hmm.
and then they didn't end up doing it because there was fan outcry and whatever. And
yeah.
It's a very interesting movie. It's kind of... It's kind of Terry Gilliam-ish, I guess.
Okay.
I don't love Terry Gilliam.
No, I've got mixed feelings about Terry Gilliam also.
But, yeah, I think it's great. And also, if you're watching it at home, it's not for everybody. Give it 10 minutes. If you're like, this is fucking weird and whatever,
uh-huh.
turn it off. Don't watch it.
All right. But well, I think next week I'll keep you updated on whether I turn it off after 10 minutes.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, Mason. That's what we're reading for this week.
Thank you.
All right. few letters, but before we get to those, Laura Jane Gerstle has donated $10 to the show
via
our weeklyplanet.bandcamp.com.
Oh, we've got
website.
The audio commentaries.
Audio commentaries. Mm. Hopefully, we're going to be doing some in the very near future.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we might not because
these things happen. Release 10 in a week. We may never release one ever again.
No.
We will.
No. Yes. So thank you, Laura Jane. But the official unreliable source, Toby, who I mentioned before, he was the trailers guy, he donated $90.
What?
I've transferred you some of that money also, Mason.
Look, $4.
That's right. So, yeah, you have to accept that PayPal
I will.
Thing.
Thank
and
you.
And then, well, no.
Thank you. No, just you.
Did not Toby?
No, Toby. That's who I meant.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But he sent a very interesting letter, and it's kind of a long one, so I've taken, like, some bits out of it, but this is pretty much it in its entirety. And normally I don't read an entire letter, but this is, I think it's quite interesting.
So, and a challenge.
Yeah, and a challenge for me, exactly. But I've been practicing, Mason.
Oh, you're reading.
Audiobooks.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Okay. I've listened to one of the episodes. I'm going to start this again. I've listened to
such a good start. Leave this in.
I've listened to every one of the episodes at least 3 times. Some of them 4
wow.
or 5. Some of you, since most of your episodes are longer than an hour, and this last one was your 45th episode, that means that I've listened to well over 135 hours of you two bullshitting about all the stuff I love to bullshit about.
Love it.
That's cool. As much as I enjoyed it, I can't help worry that it's affected me in some subtle but negative way, and that it
may... No, that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. And it may one day lead to my doom. Probably. Not wanting to suffer alone, I've tried to get my friends to start listening, but they haven't because my friends are a bunch of C-bombs. He said the word there, but I don't know. Is that the line of the show, I guess?
No, say it. Next time.
Next time.
We'll just know
okay.
for next time. It's fine.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I don't like to use that word in real life. I'm not against
it. By C-bombs, you mean depth charges?
That's exactly
right,
what I
okay,
mean.
Right, yeah.
Like, I do use it, but I only drop it when I really mean it. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well, I'd say this is the same.
Okay.
I'd say his friends are a bunch of bloody depth charges. You know what I mean?
I recently gave $90 to the show via your Bandcamp. And
thank
no,
you.
Thank you. I know, right? No, that was not a mistake. The money is payment for making me laugh like an idiot while listening to the show on the subway or at work or when making dinner.
You've or earned. At the subway.
Yes, that's right.
Subway restaurant.
You've earned it. That being said...
Eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
Have it your way. We're not going to
sponsor. Slogans.
Yeah,
they have two slogans.
Yeah, slogans.
I know that. Pick one, jerks at Subway.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean... Thanks for the sponsorship. Thanks. That being said, it comes with restrictions on how you get to spend it. 3 restrictions, Mason. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
1, as a man with many vendettas, he does sound like a man with many vendettas, I'm pleased to hear about people getting what they deserve. The money should mostly be used to get back at pricks that no doubt have done something to you personally and will have no idea why they're on the receiving end of your wrath.
Love it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to firebomb a Subway restaurant.
2, alcohol. 30% of these funds should be spent on alcohol for you both to drink while planning the aforementioned wrath.
Love it.
Me too.
Because that's the best way to plan some wrath.
Absolutely. Haphazardly.
Haphazardly.
Drunk.
Leave a lot of loose ends. Leave a lot of evidence lying around, I say.
Don't wait to sober up. Make your plan.
Yeah.
Get out there.
That's right.
Run into the night.
Live your life. Grab that gem.
That's right.
Get real sourced and grab an infinity gem.
3. Keeping the show on air. Remember, I've listened to all the podcasts. I remember when Nick was reading those ads for that book service. Books may be for nerds. Oh, yeah, we did do that, didn't we?
We did the audible.com.
Oh, yeah. Somebody also wrote in and was like, never sell out or whatever. Just so people know, we will sell out.
Yeah, we sold out quite early. It's only the fact that people haven't offered us more things to sell out
yeah.
to that we haven't, but we will.
Absolutely,
yeah,
we will.
Yeah.
You know, we got 100,000 downloads last month. I mean,
well,
you know
yeah.
that, but that's
yeah.
incredible.
I thought you were going to... I got real excited. I thought you were going to say, you know, we got $100,000.
Why would I?
I don't know. Why would you leave it this far into the podcast to mention that?
I wouldn't even tell you. I'd just disappear.
You
just
would
never
true,
see
yeah.
me again.
Yeah, yeah.
Books may be for nerds, but I fucking love them. And hear Nick reading those ads made me want to burn down a library. Keep putting all out those commentaries and your fans that can afford it will keep paying for them. I mean, if you're going to compromise your artistic integrity, it may as well be for us, right? He does make a good point.
Mm.
Yeah, look, if we get enough money like from people, sure, well, I guess we'll never... sell out? We probably will sell out. Because I feel better about taking ad revenue money than people's money.
Good point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it from the man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Celebrity story, Mason.
Oh,
this
boy.
This is part of this. Okay. I hope you're familiar with the TV show Full House.
Boy, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big here in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yes.
I thought that was the funniest show in the world.
Like last week. And now you still think it's the funniest show in the world.
That's it. Before I worked in Hollywood.
Bob Saget was just here doing a stand-up.
Was he?
Stand-up tour, yeah.
I've never seen it. Have you seen his stand-up before? You're a comedy guy.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like, I mean, it's like dirty.
I feel like he gets by on being crass. Like,
yeah,
he's kind of crass. I'm subverting your expectations.
Yeah. He's quite genial and he's kind of crass. And it's solid, you know, it's alright.
Alright, cool. Yeah. I hope you're familiar with the show Full House. Before I worked in Hollywood, I worked in a hotel in Santa Barbara, California. I worked at the front desk and recently seen the Bob Saget comedy special. Where he talks about Dave Coulier. Is that how you say it?
Dave Coulier.
Who was the Joey. He did all the voices. I mean, people know this. Why am I explaining? It talks about how Dave Coulier shaves his balls and says that if you see him, to mention it to him. Lo and behold, Dave Coulier walked in with some friends one night. At one point, Dave walks up to me and asks me to look up some info for him. And I'm looking for this information, I tell him not to let Bob Saget get him down because a lot of people shave their balls. He was not pleased.
That's the spirit.
He yelled at my manager and his dickhead friends joined in and said I was rude to them, basically using the incident as an excuse for two free rooms. Two days later, my boss used it as an excuse to fire me.
Wow.
End of story. Nope. The best part coming up.
Hello.
All right. 3 months later, I was walking at the Four Seasons down the road. He's all right. He's doing all right.
Yeah.
Well, for now. This takes a turn. Whoa. Okay, celebrity wedding happening.
I was murdered by Dave Coulier. Working together with Jodie Sweetin, also from Full House.
Which one's that?
Can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Celebrity wedding happening. I'm part of the catering crew and I'm working behind the bar, where none other than Bob Saget and John Stamos sit down in front of me. I like John Stamos. He's pretty fucking cool.
I think we can tie this in because he used to be married to Rebecca Romijn, who was Mystique. So I think pop culturally, this is fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, he was mentioned in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Remember when he's like, my world is full of outlaws, and he names like... I tell them that I have to tell them a story, but they aren't interested until I say about how I took Bob's advice and Dave Coulier got me fired. I tell them the story, and they both just stare at me and then start cracking up. Bob asked me what I thought was going to happen, and John said that this is why nobody who knows Bob ever takes his advice. We all have a shot of tequila and agree that Dave Coulier is a real dickhead. Isn't he the guy in the Alanis Morissette song?
I was just
going to
say that. He's the subject of the song You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. My boss overheard the entire encounter and later yelled at me for drinking on the job. I guess that's fair. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's, sure. Yeah.
But you don't have to yell at people,
this guy's
though.
Made some choices.
But you know what? You don't have to yell at people. There's a better way to handle things. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
2 weeks later, the summer season ends, and I'm the only summer employee that gets fired instead of becoming full-time. Long story short, the only two times I've ever been fired have been a direct result of an encounter with the three main actors from Full House.
Wow.
So there you go. That's pretty amazing.
Mm.
He's got a quick shout-out as well.
Uh-huh.
He's recommending the comic Atomic Robot. It's the best comic I've read in the last 10 years.
I really enjoy Atomic Robot.
Oh, you've read it? Okay.
Cool. Wait, Atomic Robo.
Yep, sorry. That's right. That's my fault. I can best describe the series as a bastard love child of Hellboy and GLaDOS from the Portal games. I highly recommend that you read it if you get the chance. Secondly, I'd like to join the prestigious ranks as official friend of the show. Now, I know most of your friends of the show have to contribute something to the actual show. Not true. You can do whatever.
Yeah.
I've already given you $90.
Just send a death threat.
Yeah, yeah. What else do you want from me, you greedy sons of bitches? Well, I've made the email address. He actually took the unreliable source email address,
uh-huh.
And I'm declaring myself the official unreliable source of the Weekly
I love
Planet.
It.
What a bloody legend.
Love it.
So there you go. So thank you, Toby.
Sounds great.
You're a good dude.
If anybody has any other 90s sitcom horrific stories, if you ever got punched in the face by, you know, Jaleel White from Family Matters, that'd be great to hear about that.
If Patrick Duffy from Step by Step gave you a wedgie,
yep.
We want to know about it.
Mm.
So yeah, look, we appreciate money, don't we, Mason? We bloody love it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we said also, if you can't donate for whatever reason, which is fine, never donate at all, maybe tell a friend, be like, I like this podcast, maybe you could listen.
I mean, don't tell
it.
Them right away, that would be weird.
Tell them right away.
Okay,
stop what you're doing.
Call people.
Yes.
Yep.
So yeah,
send out a mass text.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's hard to get people on board for podcasts though, I find.
Really?
Yeah. Because I often like people recommend and go, no, I'll get around to it. I've had Alec Baldwin's podcast in my like iTunes for like ages, and it's downloaded, but I just haven't. It's hard, man.
It is, boy.
So we appreciate all and anything, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, Mason.
Yes?
I hate to call you on this, but you told me to call you on it. You said last week that you were going to create a comic
superhero
book character.
Superhero origin story, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, you ready?
No.
I'll tell you what, though. I can kick you off, though. Liam wrote in. He said, I was listening to some old episodes. Number 7, Why Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sucks. I remember that.
I remember that, yeah.
And you made up a character called Night Dark. Thought you could use this in your weekly character, Building by Mason.
I have no memory of that.
It was like, I think we were talking about, like, who's the kind of Grimace superhero.
Oh, right, sure.
I might be wrong. I haven't listened to it in a while. But yeah. Does that help?
No.
Is this the end of this week?
No, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, all right?
But just not this week.
Not this week.
So are we gonna go with the name Night Dark?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
For now.
And then I'll change it next week, though.
Thank you, Liam, for reminding us of that thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though Mason does not want to take your advice.
Look, I'll take all my own bad advice. Thank you.
All right. Hello, James and Mason. I'm a big fan from Canada. And I'm undergoing a challenge on your behalf. I've decided to listen to every episode of The Weekly Planet and record each official member of the podcast.
Somebody's doing it.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Upon completing this task, I will send you the list and will learn the title of official... How do you say the Utah name? Utah the Watcher? How do you say that?
I say Uatu.
Uatu. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you know, I only read it in my head.
Like Segway.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like Segway.
Yes.
Also, could my friend Ben Ross be the official Paul Dano of the podcast?
Sure.
Without his permission.
Well, Paul Dano hasn't emailed in or anything.
He certainly hasn't.
You lost out, Paul Dano. Dano.
I guess we're at the point also where people can just name anybody the official anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to know them. That's fine. No, you have to know them. Is that fair? And then you can official name them something.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. You have to know them personally.
That's the rule.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way for us to know that you know them personally. No. Yeah.
One last thing. Have you guys seen the television show Rake? It's been it's wonderful, and I've been watching it in this podcast. I've started developing an Australian accent. Fantastic. Thank you, Daniel Dechter, who sent that in.
You love Rake, the TV series.
Well, I do love Rake until the third season. I thought the whole third season was going to be set in this...
Didn't Rake go to jail?
Rake went to jail. That's right. What it was called. But he's only in jail for like an episode,
uh-huh.
And then he gets out, and then it's just kind of the same kind of wacky shenanigans. And at the end, it ends with his leg getting caught in a rope on a hot air balloon, and he flies over Sydney Harbour. So I'm kind of like... Oh,
that got wacky
shame.
Real quick.
Yeah, because that is a good show. And look, even though it goes that way at the end, it's interesting.
Right. Rake, of course, for those who haven't seen it, it's a sort of a... He's a scumbag lawyer.
Yeah.
He's a smooth scumbag lawyer.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's Richard Roxburgh.
Richard Roxburgh.
Who people will know as...
A
bunch of stuff.
Which I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Because I got an email that ties into that. But also, there's a bit in Rake, and I know exactly the point where it jumps the shark. He goes to like a wedding of his ex-wife. I can spoil this because it's an Australian TV show. Who gives a shit? And it's the only...
You'll never find it anyway.
It's the only Australian TV show.
It must be on deep cable in the UK.
It must
US.
Be, yeah.
Or, hey, it's probably an HBO.
We can get it on Pirate Bay
Showcase,
if you're interested. But there's a scene where he goes to his ex-wife's wedding of her new husband, uh-huh. And then he calls the ex-husband out for being like a drug dealer or whatever, and the ex-husband pulls a gun out of his tuxedo.
Sure, a wedding gun.
He just had a gun on
him
at
his
wedding. Like, it's just... So, yeah, anyway, thank you, Daniel, but Niall, N-I-A-L-L, that's Niall, isn't it?
Sure.
Or Niles, like from Fraser. If Niles from Fraser has punched you in the face, please...
please email in.
Yeah, official Weekly Planet podcast, Jack-O-Lantern, brackets, loser DC version rather than the second-rate Green Goblin knockoff Marvel villain.
Okay, cool.
I didn't even know there was a DC
there
version.
There is, yes.
That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Richard Roxburgh has done a surprising amount of comic book roles.
Yes. Some are not great.
Most are not great.
All of them not great.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yep.
Van Helsing.
Yep.
Which I guess is a comic book. Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Rake.
Yep. Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
The sniveling bad guy in Moulin Rouge.
He says, what would be the perfect comic book role for the Australian national treasure, Richard Roxburgh? Do you remember we were watching the Richard Roxburgh show a few years ago and we invented that he has slept on a magical bunk bed.
Yeah, and they solved crimes together. We should put that up. You still have that, right? Bunk bed.
You should
put that up on the Weekly Planet.
I will.
Okay.
It's not going to make sense to anybody but us.
No, but we had
a lot of laughed fun. For months.
We really did, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, any comic book role, what do you think?
I
know as well he did those roles for money. It was just like, yeah, I get to like travel and do stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, okay, so I don't like sniveling Richard Roxburgh, but good old-fashioned Aussie Richard Roxburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
Some sort of adventurer kind of character.
Okay.
DC Detective King Faraday.
Okay,
look that
awesome.
Up. I think that would totally work for that guy.
Do you think he could John Constantine?
Yes, he could.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He's versatile, that guy.
He is.
And he deserves a role that's actually good for once.
Yeah.
But it's too late for Constantine because he's the TV series.
Well, they're still doing the Justice League Dark thing. Okay. And that's not that. Connected to the whatever.
Interesting. Okay. But, yeah.
Just a thought.
All right. So, Richard Rocks before Constantine.
That's right.
Hashtag. Let's get that trending. It's worked before. It's never worked.
It's never ever worked for anything. Mm-hmm. This last one is from Brent M. It's a suggestion. I'm going to add this after the show. Uh-huh. This is just in response to our speculation on Stan Lee's cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought you might want to know what Stan Lee's up to nowadays if you didn't know already. There are literally dozens of these and they're all amazing. Basically what he's sending is a link to something called Stan Lee Rants, where Stan Lee just rants.
Uh-huh.
And they're amazing. And I don't know whether he writes them or somebody else does. I don't care. It's not the point.
What is he ranting about?
I'm not even going to say it. I'll show you, but just listen after we say, see you guys.
You're going to put in a Stan Lee rant.
I'll put it in.
Put in a classic Stan Lee rant. Your fave? Is it going to be your fave or is it the
weirdest? It's the one that he sent me specifically.
Okay, great.
And I think it is. Well, I haven't seen them all, but yeah, it's pretty.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's pretty bloody great, Mason.
Great.
It's as good as any of Richard Roxburgh's roles.
Huh. Not hard, though. Except for Rake.
So, yeah, that's, I guess, is the show for this week.
Love it.
Yeah, a little bit shorter, but that's okay because who cares?
The cracks start to form.
That's right.
And show.
So, where can they contact us?
They can find us on at Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, Twitter, and Gmail.
Yes.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown.
I'm at Mr. Sun and Movies.
I don't tweet a lot, but I'll tweet back at
you.
You
were tweeting a lot, though, weren't you?
Yeah.
But you will.
Go in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tweet back at you. Say hi.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a big week for you, hasn't it?
No, just regular.
Just regular
week.
Cool, excellent. So yeah, if contact us with show ideas next week. Unfortunately, we are doing...
You're at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Oh yeah, I am. On YouTube and whatever also. We're going to do The Expendables 3.
What? I was not informed about this. Hang on, let me put on a pair of glasses. Now tell me again.
We're going to do Expendables 3.
What? You couldn't say that, but I was dramatically whipping off a pair of glasses.
So
when is that out? Next week? This week?
Well, it's also leaked online. So.
Oh, we should. I can just watch it. Yeah, okay.
No, because we're good guys.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I get it. Right, we are.
So yeah, we'll look. We'll probably do like probably another news heavy one, and then kind of briefly talk about it. I guess. Well, depending, it might be amazing. But also, I want to talk.
I think we can talk about the Expendables 3 for an hour.
Sure. Yeah.
Even if we just go through each character and we name what catchphrase from their past they use,
okay,
and what kind of gun they fire into the air.
Oh, by the way, we're just going to spoil it.
There'd be nothing to spoil,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. Having never seen an Expendables
me
film.
Me neither.
All right, let's do neither. This.
So there you go.
Do you think it'll make sense if we haven't seen one or two?
It's going to be tough. Because I think in this one, Stallone doesn't have that dumb goatee.
Oh, yeah, then we won't understand.
But
what's
I think
going
he's
on.
Got the beret.
Oh, then we're back in. Great.
So look forward to that, everybody. So, you know, come back. But we won't blame you if you don't.
If you never return. Sure.
All right. Everybody have an excellent week.
Thanks for listening. Stanley rant coming up. Here it is.
Here we go. Fuck's sake.
Stan's rants.
There's something that's so obvious. Everybody, anybody should have thought of it. Of course, I'm talking about pole dancing. Why am I ranting, you say? What am I complaining about? I'll tell you. Why isn't pole dancing an Olympic event? They have everything else, all sorts of gymnastics, dancing around that pole and hugging it and swinging on it and doing all those things. That's like the sexiest gymnastics of all. We love it. Everybody loves it. Get with it, Olympics Committee. Get with the 21st century. Look around you. Look how everybody loves pole dancers. I want a pole dancing event at the Olympics. And let me tell you, it'll probably be the most watched and the most popular event of all. That's an order. Do it.
What? What the hell? I mean, he makes a great point, but what the hell, Stanley? How do you even know what that is?
I people must write that for him, right?
Yeah.
I guess we're back. We're still recording.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we never stop recording.
Good point.
Yeah, we just document our lives here.
Yeah.
Well, good on him for sitting at a desk and saying some stuff. That's great. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what else he's putting out there.
There's a few of them.
Okay.
All right. Let's go for real this time.
All right. See you, listeners. Bye. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.